We're going to be studying Bible prophecy, looking at the current events, and boy, are they going crazy this week. And we're going to be saying what God's Word has to say about all of these current events in light of the prophetic scenario that's found in the Bible. A part of that discussion, it will include what's happening in the Middle East, and the man that covers the Middle East for us, been a longtime journalist in Jerusalem, over 30 years. We're talking about David Dolan, and he is a regular broadcast partner right here on Prophecy Today. David, let's get right to it. And I've got to ask you about this, a big headline. Saudi Arabia supposedly targeting Tel Aviv, Israel, and Tehran, Iran, with ballistic missiles. Now, that's the report. I'm not sure how valid it is. Can you speak to that issue? And is this something different as it relates to Saudi Arabia?
Well, Jimmy, it's the first time that we've had a public pronouncement or a public report on that. But it's been suspected in Jerusalem for many years that most of the regional military powers have missiles aimed at each other's cities as a contingency, not meaning that they're, you know, intending to use them or likely to use them, but possibly could use them. And of course, we have here, we have all around the world countries that the Chinese undoubtedly have missiles targeting Moscow and vice versa, and Washington and Moscow and vice versa. So that sort of thing is routine. If the Saudis start follow that up by speaking out loud about the possibility of attacking Israel or the likelihood of that, as the Iranians, of course, have been doing for some years now, that would change the dynamic considerably. But short of that, I think the Israelis just look the other way. And again, they have their own missiles. They're capable of hitting all regional cities if need be. And, of course, they don't want to do that. But if need be, they have the targets all coordinated and everything set up for that possibility, because you just never know. And we've seen how the Egyptian pro-Israel government, as it were, or at least neutral government of Mubarak, was deposed by the Muslim Brothers. We see the chaos in Syria and other things going on. So that could spread to Saudi Arabia easily if we have a full-scale Shia-Sunni war. We've already had fighting in Bahrain, trouble in Bahrain, which is connected to Saudi Arabia by a long bridge and is protected by the Saudi regime. So, you know, just a contingency on both parts, but I wouldn't be too worried about it. And as you noted, Tehran is also in their crosshairs, and the more likely scenario is that Iran and Saudi Arabia will get into conflict at some point, more than with Israel, at least at this stage.
Yes, and I was going to just bring that up. A standard operating procedure, as you've just mentioned to us, about all the countries in the Middle East and, in fact, around the world. But Saudi Arabia is really concerned about Iran becoming a nuclear power, are they not?
Oh, absolutely. It would tip the power struggle going on between the Shias and the Sunnis, and it's been going on since the time of Muhammad's grandson, so this is nothing new. It would certainly tip it in the Shia favor, the Shiites' favor, if Iran gets nuclear bombs, and the Sunnis know that. And, of course, the Saudis know that, I should say. And they have been threatened by Iran many times, actually, and the Gulf states as well. So that's a more likely, if you will, pending conflict than anything between Israel and Saudi Arabia.
Couple of interesting developments going on south of Israel in Egypt. During all of this Egyptian turmoil, the United States sends in those military F-16 aircraft going into the military of Egypt. But at the same time, Egypt is seeking to move thousands of their soldiers into the Sinai. Put those two together and tell us the significance.
Well, Jimmy, as you know, as part of the Camp David peace treaty, the Sinai was to be totally demilitarized with just a token security force there, a police force from Egypt. Israel, of course, vowed to pull all its forces out and not return them, and they've done that many years ago. But with the increasing lawlessness there, and that's been going on since the fall of Mubarak, and actually really before, increasingly Al-Qaeda, Hamas, and other radical groups are operating there. Hezbollah uses the area to smuggle weapons into the Gaza Strip, as does Iran. So a lot going on there, and the Israelis are as concerned as anyone, of course, since they share a 160-mile-long border with Egypt down there. So the Egyptian government, or the interim government, is apparently requesting more, that they send even more forces in to battle this, and the Israelis look like they'll go along with it. And again, I mentioned last week, they really do trust the Egyptian military far more than certainly the Muslim Brotherhood or anybody else to rule Egypt, and really the military, although they've appointed interim leaders that are secular, really they are ruling again. And the Israelis feel fairly secure in that because of the connection to the United States, and as you just mentioned, that connection was reinforced this week with new weapons, and also the White House announcing that aid will not be cut, or that the White House certainly will not cut aid. The Congress could still go ahead and do that. And the Israelis are pretty happy with that, because if American aid is cut, then probably there will be a civil war, and the Muslim Brotherhood may end up winning that, but it would probably be a protracted many years conflict that would undoubtedly again lead to a flight of refugees, some of them probably trying to get into Egypt, into Israel, and so of course that's the last thing the Israelis want to see.
Well, let's talk about that potential civil war there in Egypt, and hold that just for a second. There is one at Israel's northern border in Syria. Boy, Israel caught between two countries in civil war is not a good situation for the entire Middle East.
No, Jimmy, and a Washington Post editorial this week received wide coverage in Israel, and it was about John Kerry's attempts to resolve the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. And it noted that there's a massive war raging just to the north of Israel, Israel's northern neighbor, that's been an enemy for decades of Israel, and now a potential war, or at least very great unrest, shaking Egypt, as it's been doing periodically for 2 years. And the editorial made the point, why should Israel be focusing on the Palestinians right now, and then why should the United States be spending so much time on that question, with John Kerry returning to the region for the sixth time next week to not try to resolve the Egyptian crisis or the Syrian crisis, but the Palestinian one, which just seems out of priority to the Washington Post and to most people, I would say, in Israel. They scratch their heads over this. Why so much time on something so unlikely to move forward, and particularly since Hamas is again representing about half the Palestinians, controlling them at least, and they're not on board the peace process train even slightly. So it seems like a waste of time and money to the Post, and I think the Israeli government would say the same. But meanwhile, they do watch that situation in Syria, and the assassination this week of a Free Syrian Army commander by a more radical group fighting with them was a sign that the internal opposition to the Assad regime is possibly falling apart. But maybe that will lead to the ousting of the radical groups from the forces fighting the Assad regime. But in the meantime, that's a graver problem for Israel and the situation in Egypt than making a deal with Mahmoud Abbas, which is not going to happen anytime soon.
Yeah, and boy, it seems ridiculous that they would do that. Then you'd have at the southern border, at the northern border, and right in your belly, enemies of the Jewish state of Israel. Does not sound smart for the Israelis nor the United States to be focusing on that Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Well, one final thought with you. Millions of Palestinians may cause some problems as they come into Jerusalem during Ramadan. Looks like the Palestinian Authority police are going to be helping out. Any restrictions for travel into Jerusalem during this fasting month of Ramadan for the Muslim people?
There have been some restrictions put in place, as there are pretty much every year during Ramadan. Age restrictions in particular, that Muslim men under the age of, I think it's 45 usually, cannot come in from the disputed territories. Those living in Jerusalem are normally allowed at any age in, unless there's been incidents or there's indications of something being planned. And then sometimes a total ban is put on anyone under age 45 who's a male going up onto the Temple Mount to pray. That doesn't just happen during Ramadan, but it tends to happen more often during Ramadan because of the heightened spiritual atmosphere, or whatever you want to call it, that surrounds that holy month for the Muslims. So forces are in place always and alert always in Israel, and they'll continue to be so during this month.
Yes, and Ramadan, the celebration of the giving of the Quran from the angel Gabriel, traditionally, to the Muhammad, who was the prophet, and indeed the entire month fasting during daylight hours, feasting in the evening. Well, David Dolan with that Middle East News update for us. Thank you, David.
You're welcome, Jimmy. God bless.